Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hey gang, thanks for coming back. I'm here with my friend James and Stell, and we are Meaningful Mischief. We're going to talk today about strengths and what that means to us and why we focus on it in our lives and in our businesses. So let's start with James. What do you think about strengths? What does it mean to you?
So it's our own internal strengths, but in terms of how we are projecting ourselves for greatness. So it's internal of what we want to take out of it, but it's also externally of what people see the benefit of. So, and it comes down to, it can be unique ability that we've talked about, but it could be also, you know, when we're in flow, when we're in our best self,
right,
when we are our happiest, but also when we're giving the most amount of output and production.
Right on. Cool. I love that. I see strengths as the thing, if I were to break it down simply, and you know, for years and working with teams and different organizations, that strengths are not just what you're good at, like you're good at math or you can build a good spreadsheet, but it's really the thing you love, thing you're good at and you love doing. Now, if it's something that you love doing and you're not good at, that's a hobby. So strength is kind of the, you know, it's where passion and performance kind of come together, right? And being in flow state and, right? So, question for you both. Stell, do you have anything to add to this?
Do you want the clean version or the dirty version?
Whatever you wish. Probably the clean version. I don't even want to, I don't know why I opened the door for that. No. Tell.
Strengths. The two words that come up for me whenever we talk about strengths or personal strengths, which you have both actually supported me massively with because it's what you both do, are the words I am.
Oh, so an identity statement?
100%.
Tell me more.
So we're born with our uniqueness.
Okay.
The I am. Okay, because if somebody says, who are you? How do you answer the question?
It's a good question.
Who are you?
Well, we talk about what we do most of the time rather than who we are.
Yeah, especially if you meet someone, it's like, hey, you know, my name is Stell. How are you? What do you do? It's like you identify with the profession usually or, you know.
Yeah, what do you say? Do you say I'm an optometrist?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, so okay, I'll start off with a story. So one of my mentors said one time, he actually asked me the question. He goes, who are you? And I said, I don't understand what you're asking me. He goes, who are you? And I said, Stelios Nikolakakis. He goes, no, that's your name. You don't say I'm hand.
Right.
Right? So that's your name. You identify your name, but who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, ultimately, he basically asked me, he goes, you're a scientist, aren't you? I said, yep. And he said, so do you move? I said, sure. He goes, work equals force times distance. So you know that work equals energy. So you're a form of energy. Do you agree? And I said, yes. He goes, where does it come from? I'm like, I don't know. And he goes, well, if it's energy and it can't be destroyed or created, it's got to come from somewhere. So let's call it source. So I said, okay. He goes, so who am I? And I said, energy. And he goes, okay, where did I come from? And I said, source. And he goes, so there's only one. So do you agree that I'm you and you're me? And then it became a deeply philosophical conversation.
I guess so.
Okay. But the point that I want to make is when
this
somebody
is within
asked
2 minutes
me,
of meeting him.
He's been a mentor for a while, but he was trying to get to the point of, you know, here's what makes you unique. What's the essence of you? What are you born as, right? So the form of energy that gets created the second that the sperm and the egg meet.
All right.
I told
now
you, we're going to get sexual. See? I told you. The second that happens, energy gets created.
Right.
That's the time that you become you. In that moment, whatever it was that was given to you is the beginning of who you are,
right?
The uniqueness of who you are, okay? And then the expression of that uniqueness happens, and when you're around other people that allow you to be you, you start understanding and provide you an opportunity to hold that space to understand who you are, right? Because it's natural. It's like people say to me all the time, oh my God, you have so much energy, so how do you do that? It's like, I don't know, I just do it.
Right.
Right. But that's what makes me unique. I can make stupid comments like, is this dirty or is this clean? And it's genuinely.
And somehow
me.
It doesn't offend people when you do that.
I mean, look.
You do have this way
some
about
people.
You.
Some people.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
It's the beginning of understanding that uniqueness. Right. Okay. And that's the essence of who am I? And it's a very difficult question to answer for most people.
Right.
Especially helpers.
Okay.
They're because good. It's about the other person.
It's
always.
About the other person. Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the things that we do, all of us very, very well, and mm-hmm. it's part of the podcast, we're good at holding space for other people and then allowing them to understanding the meaningful parts of what they provide.
Right.
Right? But when you're good at it, sometimes it's hard to look the mirror back at you to say, okay, what is it that is meaningful to me in terms of who I am?
That is so true. When you ask somebody on the nose what they're good at or what their strengths are, they often can't answer the question. Or they'll say something like, I don't know, in school I was always good. I was always good in school, or I wasn't good in school. I'm good at English or whatever that is. So there's a disconnect. They can't see themselves objectively. Plus, we always do this thing where we look at our weaknesses. We'd probably be able to list off all of the weaknesses way better than we would the strengths, right? And so in the world of doing all kinds of work around strengths, I think we all know that organizations that are strengths-based organizations perform better than ones that don't. Like, they're exponentially, you know, better performing because people operating in their zone of genius, or, you know, the thing that they do best, it amplifies their performance instead of focusing on the weak thing, right? I forgot why I was saying that.
Can I just say something? Because I was thinking, so we all know that there's different levels of strengths. Right, and I think the challenge, and I think what would be good for any listener, because we've gone on many deep dives on this, but for any listener, is when you're trying to focus on your kind of sweet spot, your when you're in flow, and your uniqueness is when you're at the upper echelon of your strength. Because when we're trying to go maybe into a new career, or we're trying to find out what we're good at, it's not, let's say there's a ladder of strengths.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't want to do is what it's not advisable to do is to really focus on the entry level strength. So when the strength is, as you said, it's not just about what you're good at, but it's also about your passion and purpose and these things when you're in flow state, and that's only at the mm-hmm. elite level of the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to, and for us, when for whether or not it is what gives you the most amount of energy or purpose or money. And passion, it's only going to come at the high level when everything's matched together.
All those things line up. Okay, so now give me an example in your life when you knew you were in that state, or maybe as you were discovering your strengths. Because, like, abstractly, like the concept of it, we're like, oh yeah, sure, I get it. But, you know, at what point do you go, now I know I'm doing the thing I should be doing, and I'm making the difference I should be making? How do you? How does that show up?
There's two things for me, because for me, I love visual things. I love gardening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm in that state and someone says to me, and in the UK I was doing some gardening for my dad, and I was changing a load of things, and I could have 7 hours of just one thing, and I was in flow state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a strength of mine, and it's something where I've got intense amounts of energy, focus, gratitude, appreciation, everything. But I can't do that. I couldn't do that for my job. For my work.
Right, it's hard to.
So it's like a passion, because some people say, you know, go and set up a new company or something as a sidekick or my main job, and follow where your passion is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to be a little bit careful with that, because, you know,
yeah.
So that's where I'm in flow state, and I have a huge amount of energy. But then when I am serving people,
mm-hmm.
and I am with, so the business I have is in financial and wealth management, is when I'm having conversations with them about changing their life or things
right.
around investments and next generations and things like that. So
ooh, I like this.
They are both very, very different, and both have their own uniqueness to them. But for me, the feeling is the same.
In terms of what you described as flow state, and flow state's that, you know, that time when you lose track of time, that you could do something for 7 hours and be like, geez, I haven't eaten lunch, like that whole thing. What I'm picking up on what you're saying now here, though, is yes, if you love something and you're not good at it, that's a hobby, but it's also a hobby. Like, we're here because we want to have an impact in the world. And so I think what you're lining up is the thing you're good at and love doing and you feel in service of others, it's about having an impact in the world. Now, the garden has a positive impact, but it's not the same as you helping change someone's life. And so that's where you're channeling that flow state, that strength into the thing that can help the world in some way, which I think is, you know, kind of the essence of why we're all sitting here around a table talking about this stuff, right?
Which is probably like you with yoga and then on purpose.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. So I teach yoga. And I remember when it was transformational for me. I love being in the room and holding space for people. You could argue I have no time to do it in my life. And every time I go to, like, it's the day to teach, I'm like, I have no time for this. I'm building a business. And then I come home from that and I'm like, don't ever let me stop teaching yoga because it fills my bucket. But I don't want to make that sort of labor of love turn into my vocation. And all of a sudden it would transform. I mean, if you were a gardener for, you know, the tough slog of how many gardens would you have to do to earn the income that you want? You couldn't do it. And it, you know, gardening or yoga, or what would it be for you? What's your thing you love to do that's not commercially
being
viable?
Clean.
What did you say? Oh,
yeah. That's an interesting question, because to me everything is the same now. It's all vision related.
Oh, that's amazing.
Everything's vision for me.
Right. Sports?
Sports for sure.
Because, yeah, like, you know, you like to go to hockey games and do those things.
Yeah.
Not making that into your...
But again, it's like, the meaningful impact and meaningful moments to me are applied everywhere and I can see them. Okay. And you ask the question, it's like, okay, flow state is huge.
Yeah.
But the question is, how many people really know what flow state is and what it means?
Well, they don't. That's why we're breaking it down for people.
I know. And until you can experience it, you really don't know what it is.
So I would argue two things. Everybody's experienced flow state. They don't know. They may not know that they're in that, but the people are disconnected from what they love. And you said something about helpers. We have, one of the key people on our team is definitely a helper. And we spent maybe 14 months of from when she started to asking her the question, what are you good at? She's probably good at everything because she's a helper. And so she's motivated to be good at everything.
Yeah.
Like, she actually couldn't see what she was good at. And so it wasn't until we sort of said, okay, now we're going to look at that. We're going to, you know, what things do you find joy when you're doing? What things do you lose a sense of time? So then she got closer and closer and closer to understanding what that is. So I think everybody's felt it. They just don't necessarily know that they're in it. And also perhaps that thing could also contribute to the world in some way. Like, they think it happens when they're playing video games at home, but maybe there's something about that they could apply to their jobs. You can also create flow state by reframing how you see something, right? So I don't like anything to do with accounting, any administrative function in my business, basically. But if I could channel that is a key enabler to helping, say, you know, support people's livelihoods because we're, you know, paying our bills on time and growing the business and all that stuff, I can channel that part of me wanting to have a positive impact on our team into that activity. You can actually create it based on how you look at it too. That's not strength though, necessarily.
Okay, let me, what's coming to my mind right now? There's lots of tools to understand sort of what you're unique in.
Oh yeah.
Right, Colby.
There's a million
strength
assessments.
There's a million assessments.
Yeah.
The one that I'm trained in deeply is called the Strength Deployment Inventory, or Core Strengths.
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason why we call it core strengths is because there's two parts to the puzzle. One is your core, and then the second one is the strengths, and they're connected. And the visual that we give is an iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have an iceberg, you see the tip of the iceberg. The other another analogy that we give is an anchor in the water with a chain and a buoy on top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the buoy is the strength, right? So people see the strength here. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's what motivates them at a core level, the
right.
core strength.
Right.
Okay. So the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg is what people see, right? So I can look at both of you and say, wow, I didn't know that you're that detailed with what you see. And I didn't realize.
We learned new strengths about James today.
Right. So these are behaviors that show up as a strength.
Yeah.
Typically, the frequency of the behavior is giving an indication of what the motivational value system is internally.
Okay.
Not always, but typically. Okay. Now, if I see a strength that's going to be detail, okay, and I hear detail, detail, detail,
yeah,
my language will be in a detailed format. But what happens if it doesn't excite James? I'm going to make an assumption that he's very detailed in nature.
Right. But now we're talking about how you interact with his strengths.
But so I'm interacting with his strengths, but depending on how firm I am with understanding my own or the I am, I may make a wrong assumption. The person with the most flexibility in the behavior controls the system. Mm-hmm. So the more I understand myself, the easier it is for me to understand someone else.
Oh, I totally see that.
Okay. Yeah. And this is the key now, because you need to go deep inside and it's not necessarily easy.
Yeah. Do you think you need to go? Like, I get the benefit of going deep, but I also think, like, I believe that people could, with a fairly quick sort of inventory of what lights them up and what doesn't, they could get closer to a sense of what their strengths are. Like, you go through an exercise, you say, okay, pick a team moment in your life, whether it was Little League or, you know, 10 years ago or in your job right now, and why was it a good experience? What were you all trying to work toward? Who were the players on the team? Like, if the three of us went and did something together, mm-hmm. and it felt good and we had a good outcome. So you start to break that down and then ask somebody, okay, so what was your role? And what did you do? And not just what did you functionally do, like were you the guy on the PowerPoint or were you the guy on the itinerary or whatever it was, but how did you show up in your personality strengths? Because there's the performance strengths, there's your passion strengths, and there's your personality strengths. Like, I think it's way easier for people to access that. Like, sometimes we complicate it, and then it feels like, oh, I have to do, I mean, we've all done, I mean, I think I've probably done 15 different assessments on my personality, how I think, what I like, all the stuff. And I love that stuff. Like, we could nerd out on it all day. I also think that just listening, somebody could in 30 minutes kind of break it down for themselves and figure out if they gave themselves those filters and asked for examples from their life. Like, when did this feel good and what did I do? You know?
Exactly.
That's how. And then if you want to dig into it deeper, because there's a wealth of knowledge around and sort of depth to where that comes from and what drives you.
The universal question everybody has is, what gives me a sense of self-worth?
Yeah.
Period. Okay? Everybody wants to feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's universal. Okay? Now, the thing is, we typically do things and act in a certain way for us to feel good about ourselves and make the assumption that's what everybody wants.
Right.
And it's a wrong assumption.
Right.
Okay?
About the actual way that you show up is, I assume everybody wants this from me.
Yeah, if I say to you, what gives you a sense of self-worth, what makes you feel good, what are you going to say?
When I can have a positive impact on other people.
Positive impact on other people. What are you going to say?
No, so you're saying that a strength then is only something that is acknowledged by others?
No. Oh, no, it's by yourself. So it's like, if I ask you what gives you a sense of self-worth, what makes you feel worthy, the biggest thing that makes you feel worthy, how would you answer?
When I'm appreciated.
Yeah. For what?
For the work that I do.
For others, right?
And the impact
and so on and so forth, right? Mm. Not everybody's going to answer that way. Okay, yeah. Everybody answers that question differently. And then as long as you realize, okay, what is it that gives me self? So for me, it's like, if I inspire, motivate other people in order to make an impact, it sounds like we're saying the same thing, to make an impact in the world, but that's not the true motivational thing that makes us feel worthy.
But if I was never acknowledged for the stuff that I did, then I would internally go, well, that's not my strength. Mm. So this is why I was saying it's an arrows in approach, that we do an action and it's probably the confirmation of other people and the acknowledgement and appreciation that makes us internally go, I'm good at this. They've made me feel good about this. So it becomes a strength.
Hmm. That's interesting. What's first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Right. Cause like, if you know, in your career, you do a bunch of things and some things you don't thrive at and other things you do. And then all of a sudden you find yourself doing more and more and more of a thing because you're validated. You're good at it. You love it. And then because you're good at it and love it, you get validated.
You get better at it. Yeah. So it self-perpetuates.
Yeah.
Then it then becomes, this is my strength.
Right.
Whereas if you was never acknowledged, would you even got to the point where you could label it as a strength?
Right. So then let's take it back. So let's say, why is this important? Like, why are we talking about this today? Like, why does it matter to us? I believe that this matters. This is of paramount importance in the world because we have 85% of the world's employee base is unengaged in their work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. I think, you know, a big part of it is they're not connected to why they're doing it in the first place, and businesses aren't connected to why they're doing it in the first place. Like, that's a whole mission around, you know, get really clear about why it matters, which is what, I guess, what I'm asking this question. But the second thing is that people go in and they do what they have been trained to do, whether it's, you know, whether you're the front line in a factory or you're the CEO. It's kind of like, this is the mold that I have to fit in to do this type of job. So we're disconnected from that spirit in ourselves that says, you know, what I do matters, and how I show up matters, and all of that. And I think that's why this is a fundamental conversation. If, you know, you want to be happier in your own life, and you want to have more of an impact in the world, mm-hmm. you 100% need to be dialed into your strengths. And if you are responsible for a group of people, and on any level, you know, the best thing you can do is connect them to why you all matter, like why you're all together in the first place as an organization doing something, and then help them uncover their strengths, because you will be able to, you know, 10x your impact if you can do that, right? And so on some level, we need to make it really easy for people to get to that space. And sometimes, because we nerd out on this stuff, we can go like super deep and it feels inaccessible. Like, we've all gone through this process in this coaching group that we're in around unique ability, and we call strengths unique ability, and it's a beautiful process, and it's hard to get to. Like,
it takes work and effort and dedication. Yeah,
and like some real self-reflection, where you're kind of outside of yourself looking in, and you get feedback from everybody and stuff like that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I just would love for people to be able to get to it faster, even just for driving in your car or on a walk listening to this podcast. What are like three things you could do to get closer to understanding your strengths? And then if you're a leader in your business, how do you help your team find their strengths too?
And I think that, you know, we're big into relationships, right? And we all need relationships, whether or not it's in a partner level or a work level, but we all have to collaborate in some shape or form, in friends and work and in personal life. And when you realize your strengths, you also realize your weaknesses, and you then have a greater understanding of how you then can match up with the people around you, and how to create successful moments, to create successful outcomes.
Yeah.
And you only get to that when you are matching up your strength with somebody else's strength.
Yeah.
And you're aware of the weaknesses that go with it, which you try to avoid.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah.
Which again, we know because of our discovery, right? We know what our strengths are, but we also know what we're not good at. And
yes.
if you work on your weaknesses, they just become strong weaknesses.
Yeah.
They never become a strength. So for me, it's spending as much time as you can within your areas of strengths. And if you can either leave the weaknesses, or you get, like in business, you'd get other people's strengths to take over where you're weak.
Yeah, that's
And then
so
that becomes,
good.
You know, you level up in terms of your business and capability.
I hadn't really thought about that as it relates to this, but absolutely in terms of putting together the best team and closing gaps. I don't know that I'm not sure everybody's self-aware enough to know about their blind spots or their weaknesses.
They will be. But probably not, because, and maybe this is something for any listener, is to do some of the tests that we've done.
Yeah. We can put some in the show notes too, right? One that came to mind for me, and I don't know if you guys have done Working Genius, the Patrick Lencioni only. Okay, you guys have done it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so fun. We won't nerd out on what our profiles are because nobody cares. But you could email us if you want to know. But the one thing that's nice about that is it's super intuitive and easy. And basically, you get a profile that shows where you sit in any given project. And you can see, if you can only have 2 of 6 strengths, that there are 4 strengths required from other people to be able to really do a project from A to Z, right? That's a really good one. And I mean, Patrick Lencioni, who's done all this work around team effectiveness and leadership effectiveness and all of that, it's a really quick one for people to intuitively go, okay, now I get that. And then there's all these other ones that get to your personality strengths, or the one that Stella's talking about, which I've taken the assessment and haven't done the deep dive, so I'm super excited about that. So how you think, how you show up to a challenge, how... like what areas of interest you have. There's like, you know, a myriad of that. And I had somebody tell me recently that you only really need one assessment in your business. Everything else is just kind of a waste of time. And I was like, what? I think I have like, I don't know. We use at least 3, 4, whatever, because they get to different dimensions.
Four, you can't be a two-dimensional.
Right.
You cannot. Not when you're trying to really go deep in terms of understanding, because when different things show up at different times, you need the... you know, the arrows in your quiver to be able to go, yeah, but this is how I would handle that, and then you handle it like this, so we match it together.
Yeah. So tell me about an area of strength for you that, and the blind spot associated with that. I think that'd be kind of fun to know. So, you know, if your greatest strength creates the blind spot, what's the strength and what's the blind spot?
Well, so one thing that we do is from the Colby, which tells you about how quickly you do something. So there's two numbers I always focus on is how much information you need to make a decision, how quickly you do something, and how likely you are to follow through.
Yeah.
So I'm not that this is an opposite attract, but I'm really quick to do something, but I'm also less likely to follow through on it.
Yeah.
And I always think of this as a relay race. I'm the sprinter out the block, the first position, but I run out of steam really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not the guy who's going to finish the race. So if you're going to do something, we're going to plan a trip, I'll be the guy that comes up with the information to start and say, let's go. But then that's me, I'm tapping out.
Yeah, that's kind of how this podcast started, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We're really short on follow through too, which is interesting that we're even here, but I think it's because we're accountable to each other and we're excited about it. There's motivation. We think this matters, and that's why we're...
But I've just thought of an answer. Actually, it's probably more appropriate to your question, because if you're thinking about what are you good at, but what's the other side, we're all very futuristic people. Like our strength is 1 and 2, which is we're more comfortable thinking about the future than we are about the present or the past.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to go back and wants to go, but why, and why do we do this? I'm like, where's the door?
Yes, right.
Because I'm not comfortable and I don't like living in the past and thinking about, whereas if you want to talk about how the future could look like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's good to understand who you're talking with, and because we're all, and that's why we're doing this, because we're high in empathy, we're high in giving, and we're high in futuristic. So we're thinking about what can we do in the future and to help people, you know, navigate through life and, you know, any shortcomings.
Totally. So I love that, because for me, this conversation, we talked about it in our first episode, but for me, this conversation is about me learning too, right? Like, as we talk about this stuff, and when I listen to podcasts, I'm like, I kind of just want to be at the table with those guys talking about the things that matter to me, which is interesting. I don't want to talk about the past, though. I get itchy when people do that.
Yeah.
I get, like, agitated. It's a total trigger. For me, the metaphor I use that I figured out, I don't know, a few years back was, you know, people on my team are super detail focused and action oriented, so they're high on follow through, which is amazing. But I live at 30,000 feet, and so we'll have conversations, and I'm like, dude, I'm the forest and you're the trees, and we do have to meet in the middle. Like, I can't just go live, you know, up at 30,000 feet, and you can't live on the ground.
You've got to reach somewhere.
Yeah, and then the cool part about it is when the light bulb goes off for people, that it's not like Mary's not doing this to frustrate me, and vice versa. It's truly how we think, and that, you know, somebody needs to see, you know, the bark and the ants and the dirt and the whatever, and I need to be able to see the whole thing as well. And so it's a good communication tool to respect each other's differences.
Yeah.
Someone once told me, and I can't remember who, that before they did any of these types of assessments, they thought everybody was like them, just not as good.
Right? Yeah, which is true. And when people do it, they're trying to say, well, what score is a good score? Well, it's not. We're all unique.
Yeah.
We all have our own unique strengths.
Yeah. Stel, how about you? Give us a strength and the blind spot associated.
So much. Okay.
I love that you're making notes. It's like you're a lawyer sitting and waiting for your turn.
Okay, Your Honor. Here we go. what came up is you've worked with my team, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that you said is that there's one thing everybody wants, it's contribution.
Mm-hmm.
It's who we are. The second thing I wrote down, and I'll stick with the tool I know because it's relevant to this conversation. With SDI, the strength deployment or core strengths, there are no weaknesses. There are no blind spots.
Mm.
There's overdone strengths though.
Okay, so that's kind of the same thing from a different...
It is, but you'll see how it's connected, right? So there's two stories I'll tell you.
But you didn't answer my question.
I am answering your question.
Okay.
Why are you so pushy? You're so pushy.
Well,
she's being specific.
I'm trying to stay on task here. No,
you want me to answer your question? Go fire. Ask me again.
No, it's, I think
ask me again.
What is one strength that you overdo?
Ask me again. One more time. One more time. I dare you.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking now. I'm definitely not asking now.
No, but look, in all honesty, here's the question where you're going, okay, so here's, if I'm not aware of my surroundings and I do my strength, which both of you guys are going to laugh at, somebody might get offended. Now, they're offended because I'm overdoing my strength in their world. It's not because it's a blind spot for me.
So I want you to be able to say it only because to like, cause as we talk about these things, to get like, to use examples to show like, okay, in me, it's the forest and the trees. With James, it's quick start, low follow through on the, like, you know, quick to start things, not to follow through. So I'm trying to
so you want to know,
kinda,
okay,
yeah.
So when we look, so one of my top strengths is positivity.
Okay. A good one, yeah. Me too. You too.
Now, if somebody's just come from a funeral, okay, and I'm like, "What up? Yeah!" It's still positivity, but it's overdone in the moment of the environment that I'm in.
Okay.
Right. So now, I guess the blind spot is if I don't have social awareness to know that that person just came from a funeral. That's what we mean by overdone strength.
Okay,
so that's why I hear strengths, and again, it's hard for me to disconnect where the strength is and where the core of the individual is. So I'll tell you guys two stories, and then it'll hopefully link in.
Okay.
Hopefully.
We also hope that.
Number one, and this goes to you when you ask my team certain questions in terms of the contribution, and it's something I always ask young people. Okay, so if you ask my son's 15, what do you want to do when you get older? Number one question they give you, number one answer they give you.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you ask the question, I'm going to give you all the money in the world and it's going to be in your bank account tomorrow. Okay? But there's one stipulation. You have to work. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about money for the rest of your life. Your parents take care of. Everybody's taken care of. You don't need to know specifically what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in what area would you work and what do you think you would do?
You get an answer.
Always. Well, not always, but most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the answer 95% of the time is when you ask that question to any individual? It always has to do with two things.
Giving back, helping people.
Contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And growth, which is the formula for passion. P equals G plus C.
Yeah.
Okay. So now think of space now, right?
And
so
this,
now,
yeah. Right? I like
so, this. So now all of a sudden you're like, okay, I have an idea that I want to help people. I want to be an accountant. I love numbers. I love information. I love motivating, whatever. Like you're going to come up with a concept of mm-hmm. some sort. Okay. Now I had my son do the SDI evaluation
mm-hmm.
and Colby did both of them. Cause I'm like 15 years old, man, I wish I had this information because then you have a launch pad. And what shocked me is his, SDI was identical to mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And his Colby was really, really close to mine. And actually, we did the print too. And his print was a combination of my wife and I.
Right.
And I'm like, huh.
We'll put all of these links to these assessments in the show notes so people know what we're,
And highly recommend. Like, if anybody hasn't done an eval, it's not that it's the answer, it's an opening to understanding what motivates us.
Yeah.
Okay. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, huh, that's interesting. Because if you had have asked me, I wouldn't have thought that he would want leadership and motivating and inspiring mm-hmm. and all these other things that were showing up in the SDI results, which I don't want to get into right now. But I just saw him play in the playoffs. Football. Mm-hmm. Okay? He had no clue how to play last year. And I thought he had two left feet. And I'm like, how is this guy going to play a game which is hitting with and speed and with two left feet?
Yeah.
Well, he was the captain of the team today for the playoffs.
Oh, that's great.
And the way he led now is it's his uniqueness, his strengths that have come to the forefront, which drove his behavior and motivation to get up at 6:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to do it. Same thing here. Why am I here? Right? You guys say do something, I'm there. Why?
You love us.
But why? Right? Because the thing is, if I get inspired and I get motivated and then the energy that you two give me and the excitement, because I see that you're making an impact. I have two mirrors that I can understand how I make an impact and I'm comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I get excited about this podcast is, Meaningful Mischief. Yeah, because our abilities aren't this You know, we know how to make pens.
Yeah, yeah. It's not tangible. It's not tangible.
It's not tangible. Like, a lot of the things that we do and that we talk about isn't tangible.
It's a
we had a conversation today saying we help other people, we hold the space for them to understand their intangible to make their tangible abilities aware to them. Okay? And I don't know about you two, but I get excited when I can take my abilities and strengths and see the impact that they have indirectly to other people.
I think everybody in the world will want some version of that. And I also think everybody has intangible and tangible, like performance, passion, personality, what, like strengths that we don't necessarily connect to, because we actually as a culture don't celebrate them. We celebrate kind of all the wrong things. Like, how many degrees do you have?
Yeah.
What job did you have before this one? What were you earning before? I'll give you more than that. Like, there's that, like, it's all these extrinsic things. And we don't say, you know what? When Stell shows up in a room, he just brightens up the room and brings the energy level up.
What value can you bring to the company?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, we're paying based on the things that,
I want to add another story that happened. So I taught at the university for 10 years, and in my very last year, I asked the question to the graduates, that specific question, you have $1 billion in the bank, whatever I said the amount. And then I posed the question a little bit differently. I said, how many of you would still do optometry?
How many did you get?
How many do you think? 94 for the whole country.
Oh gosh, like 10? Three. Yeah.
And I had rapport
with them. This is the problem though. So this gets into a different issue, which is people see work as a job and not as part of a fulfilling and rewarding life.
Watch, so you said the hobby and I said, I see everything as vision now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took work for me to get there. And yes, sports is a huge part of why I'm successful. Travel's another one. Huge part. I didn't even know at the time, but it's all the same thing, right? And flow state, I experienced in sports all the time. But then I asked the question, I said, what would you guys do? Right? And the girl in the front's waving her hand. I called on her. She goes, I'd be a Raptors dancer.
Really?
And I thought, really?
That
my inappropriateness is thinking, man, the only thing that could have been worse is if she said she wanted to be a stripper. But I mean, I was like, how do I even answer this right now?
Hopefully she's not listening to this.
Well.
Yeah, and if she is.
And if
maybe
she
it's
is,
a
then she knows. Because I was, so I got 3% and I got a dancer in the front.
That's just disappointing from a purpose perspective. Like, you could use your life and your skill set.
Well, so
it would have been nice to ask that at the start of the course.
I was, what's that?
You should have asked that at the start of the 10 years.
But watch was interesting, right? Because again, I didn't even know how to answer. Because I'm like you guys going, what are you even doing in my head? But here's the misperceptions that happen, even societal. Because the first thing is, what the hell are you doing here? Watch what happens now. Next one was National Geographic photographer. Next one was whatever. Like, they all had a lot of charity stuff. A lot. I'd run a charity, blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
I get to the far corner, and she says, a hairdresser. And I'm like, okay, you have to enlighten me. The dancer, I'm not comfortable with you. Enlighten me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, the impact I make in people's lives with my art.
Well,
and
that's
lovely. Huh. And then the one beside us.
We're being judgy about jobs.
I know.
That's not good.
But I was
bad
too,
bad on
right?
you, James.
I was too.
And me.
So the other one beside, oh, she did my wedding. It was amazing. I can attest to it. She made us feel amazing, blah, 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 blah. And then it hit me and I went, huh. And I'm an end guy. I've always been an end guy. So I said to her, how much time do you spend in the dispensary downstairs where we fit people with glasses? Again, we're doctors, so it's like, whatever. We're just going to go because we have to get the mark. But
what
none
kind of
us
guy
care.
Are you? What?
An and guy.
And.
Not an or.
Oh, okay, got you.
I'm
yeah,
an
okay.
and guy.
I'm glad.
So I said to her, I would spend more time downstairs and use your strengths to apply to how you can help somebody visually with lenses and frames so that they feel good about themselves. And now you got both things. And then I went, huh. I go, dancer. I've always wanted to be a Maple Leaf, but I can't skate.
Right.
I have a 1963-64 Stanley Cup puck in my office, and beside it is where my ring is going to be when the Leafs win, because they need me as their optometrist because of the strengths I bring to the table. And I said, you can talk to the Raptors Dance Pack. I'm sure they don't have an optometrist. You're going to offer your services for free. You're going to fly with them.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to dance with them. And you're going to provide them performance-enhancing vision support.
That's
okay,
amazing.
And you're going to be an optometrist, and, right?
Yeah.
So the key thing is, like, you know, back to what you're saying, even though you like gardening, you are gardening all the time.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, because you're creating.
You just did it now when we came in here. You're like, move this plant. It was funny
this
watching.
This is a new venue for us.
Right? But you're doing it all the time. It's just, it's in a different form. And again, it's like, okay, you're a marketing PR person. No, you're not. you're an ex-lawyer or you're a lawyer and a finance guy. No, you're not. I'm an optometrist. No, we're not. Okay, that's not our strengths. It's like, you know, they can say, oh, you're one of the best finance guys in the world because you work with all these amazing families and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You're an amazing PR person because you have your own company, blah, 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 blah. And I'm an amazing optometrist. Yeah. But what makes us amazing?
It's because of the impact we create.
And it's based on much
who we
deeper
are,
things.
Yeah. Not necessarily
we
what we do.
Are, not what we do. And the core, which is big for both of us, we teach it all the time, is why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? You're born with that.
So to wrap it up,
yeah.
In terms of strength, and what, like someone listening, what is the takeaway from this? That you figure out who you are, and then that becomes your strength.
Oh, so that's interesting, because I think the journey to who you are is a lifelong journey, and we kind of unlearn who we are as we grow up and become conformed to the communities that we live in and all that. And that's good. That's survival. We need that. We need to be connected into community. But I wouldn't want to predicate knowing who you are to showing up with your strengths. I would say, like, if there's one key takeaway, strengths are a driver of engagement and contribution. And like, so like, you know, if, and happiness and all of that, to feeling like fulfilled and into those beautiful moments yourself and for your team too. So like paramount in the, you know, human development and happiness area. And spend some time thinking about it, whether it's 10 minutes or you do all of the assessments, I would say. Mm-hmm. I would say that would be my, and then we can put in some of our favorite assessments in the show notes and talk about why, maybe.
I actually made a note of that, saying that how much time do we actually spend in a quiet room with no phone, working on ourselves, but two, more importantly, and for the purpose of this, actually saying what are we good at and asking other people, because it's more, as you said, about getting gratification and appreciation from other people and acknowledgement. Ask other people, like the five, and we did this right when we were
great.
Ask 10 people around what they think that we're good at. It doesn't have to be 10, but you know, totally. Someone at work, someone, your brother or sister, family member, and ask, you know, a friend or people close around what they think that we're good at, because there'll be some commonalities in that.
Yeah, and it's the power of observation. They can observe you looking happy, fulfilled, rewarded. Maybe you don't notice because you're in the moment, right?
Yeah.
So they also have that perspective as well. That's good. That's it.
Okay, good.
I'm going to add one thing, but the tools I think are huge for me, because it's an opening for anyone. I think the tool depends on who you are, what age you're at, and where you are in life. But to have somebody do the tool and then have somebody facilitate what it means will bring an awareness and open up the conversation on understanding who you are. SDI, core strengths, Colby, well, maybe, depending. I think you need help with that one. Print for me is a big one.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I like print and core strengths the most, because it gets into your why, and they're the only two that talk about conflict.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to do the test and then with the results reach back to us, we're happy to, you know, give some guidance and things. So
cool.
Good. Thanks. You for listening.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you too, Stel.
I think that plant's a little off.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at Meaningful Mischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.